Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
Amen. Did anybody in the church here remember Larry Epperson that had Epperson's Jewelry out on Highway 60? Back in the 90s, I did all of his computer work, and he tried one time, I was there in an evening, and he tried to get me to ride a helicopter, and I quickly said, "No way I'm getting in that thing." It landed, I'll never forget. He asked me to work on his computer, and it landed, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to take a helicopter ride, and we're going to be going over Chattanooga, and if you want to go, you can." And I said, "I'll just stay here and work on your computer." I don't know if you know, but his building there is like Fort Knox. You can't get in it, and if you're in it, you can't get out. There's no fire exit. And so only he could let you at the time out. I guess his wife can now. But anyway, there was no escape. I had a friend one time that was he's still my friend, but he's an airplane pilot. And by the way, his wife and his kid, his daughter, won't even fly with him. That ought to tell you something, right? None of his friends will fly with him. And he showed me a picture of the plane. I said, "No way am I flying with you at all." But especially after reading this story that I'm about to share with you today. There was a photographer who worked for a national magazine, and he was assigned to get photos of a gigantic forest fire, smoke at the scene. It was too thick to get many shots, and so he frantically called his home office to hire a plane. And his editor said, "Well, we'll be waiting for you at the airport." He said, "Get going." And so as soon as he got to the small rural airport, he noticed a plane that was warming up near the runway. He immediately jumped in with his equipment. He yelled, "Let's go." And so the pilot swung the plane into the air, and the photographer said, "Well, follow the north side of the fire and go and make three or four low-level passes so I can get some good shots." And the pilot said, "Well, why do you want me to do that?" And he said, "Well, because I'm going to take pictures." He said, "I'm a photographer, as you know, and photographers take pictures." The pilot's eyes opened wide, his mouth dropped wide open. After a long pause, he said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Now that raises a very important question. Listen, as you fly your plane of life, as you decide how you're going to live your life and a legacy to do what you leave when your life is over, what the meaning of your life even really is, what you look to, where do you look for leadership and guidance? Now, I realize today that there is a great number of people who feel like they don't need any help whatsoever. I've met many of those. They kind of go and they figure it out on their own. Maybe they even think it's more adventurous to go and to try to figure it out on their own by trial and error. Maybe you're just one of those people, you're kind of hope that Lady Luck, which I don't believe in luck, I don't believe in happenstance, but Lady Luck is on your side, maybe that's you, and that maybe most of your decisions in your life will be good. Now, then there are those who of us that are sitting here today who believe that God wants to guide us, that God wants to lead us and instruct us at what is true and to live a life of truth, because we simply, when you think about it, you can only really live life one of two ways. And here they are. You can either live your life a lie, or you can live according to the truth. Amen? Either a lie or according to the truth. And so you may be asking that same question that Pontius Pilate asked when he said in John chapter 18 and verse 38, He said, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again, and the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And we know that story. Here's the question today, my friend. What is truth? What is truth? I am the truth is what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, I am the truth. And so Jesus is the truth. And I want you to know today that truth is whatever God says is true. And God has given us both the Spirit of God and the source of guidance, which by the way is the Word of God. And so to guide us, the reason He has given us the Spirit and the Bible is to guide us into truth. Now, we are in a series that we have entitled Breaking Free. And today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit of God and how it is important both for those of us who are believers and also who are not. And so His major job is to simply take us to the truth. And Jesus, His pet term for Him was the Spirit of Truth. And we don't have to fly blindly as we fly through life, right? As we go through that plane of life, we're not flying blindly. We don't have to be confused. Listen, we have an instructor. My friend, I want you to know today, we have a teacher, someone who will empower us and guide us into all truth. And so today I'd like for you to take your copy of God's Word, if you would please. Turn over to John in chapter number 16. John chapter 16, and if you read there, there are some words of warning here. And we're going to see today exactly how the Holy Spirit does that both for the believer and the unbeliever. Today I've heard a lot of people mention, if you're an unbeliever here today, or if you're not saved, I've heard that mentioned by several people today. And so this message is for both the believer and the unbeliever. Here's what we're going to learn today. This is what we're going to take out the doors we leave today, our life application point. Listen, my friend, through the empowerment of the Spirit, you and I, we gain knowledge of the truth, enabling us to mature in understanding and walk daily in the truth. And so that's what I want us to learn today. Three quick things I want us to take out the door as well, if you're taking notes. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to seek the truth. It's the Holy Spirit of God that empowers us to seek the truth. Remember Jesus here, He's getting His disciples ready and leaving and for the Holy Spirit's coming. And He says here in verse number 12, look at John chapter 16 and verse 12. The Bible here says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, they have been with Jesus, as we know, three and a half years, practically every day, 24/7, and thought that they had heard everything that He wanted to say, but Jesus tells them that He hasn't even emptied His clip. And there is much more that they need to know and much more that they can learn, but guess what? They can't even handle it. And so He hadn't even touched the hem of the garment when it came to the truth about God, about sin, about salvation, about life, about death, and even about heaven and hell. Which, by the way, let me tell you today, heaven and hell are both a real place that do exist the very moment that I'm up here speaking today. Now, can you imagine the reaction of the disciples here? I mean, they felt like they had been drinking under this faucet for 3 years. I mean, they had learned more in one day from Jesus than they had learned all their lifetimes from the rabbis and everything that they had to say. And yet He tells them that He has much more for them. And so, more truth to learn. And do you think that that sparked a desire in them to do a hunger into their hearts to go and to seek even more the truth of God? Now, then their mouths must have run dry because there must have been a knot and a pit in their stomach at some point. Do you realize in 3 years, Jesus had never written anything down? And what is worse, Guess what? They hadn't either. And so there are no tape recorders. There's no cameras. There's no computer files. There's no digital recordings at all. And they were worried not in just seeking the truth, but remembering the truth. And here's what Jesus says. Look with me, if you will, over in verse number 13. Jesus said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Now, there are two words there that are very important in this verse that you don't want to miss today, and they are the two words right before truth, all truth. It's not just a truth, but the truth. And it isn't just some of the truth, the Bible says, but it is all of the truth. And so, I want you to know right here what Jesus was referring to. He was referring here to the coming of the New Testament. I mean, everything that would be written down, beginning with His birth all the way to His coming, would be given to the disciples and later the apostles by the Holy Spirit. And so the word for that is called revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but the doctrine of Revelation. That was what was going to be given to them. And I want you to know today, my friend, that when it comes to Christian truth, when it comes to all truth that we'll ever need and that we'll ever know on this earth about God, Jesus, salvation, sin, righteousness, holiness, heaven and hell, it is found between the covers of this book. Amen. Now, if there's anything else that we need to know, that the Scripture says it all, I want you to know that. You don't have to go to the library. If there's anything you want, you don't have to buy or check out a book on truth. If you want to know everything there is to know about truth, it's all written right here. Amen. Now, there may be other things we would like to know and we want to know, but there's nothing else we need to know if it's not in this Word. Amen. Now, that raises a question. How do we know what they wrote down accurately? That's a good question that we need to ask. How do we know that their memory isn't a lot like mine, a little faulty? Or like yours, right? How many forget? How many sometimes have a memory problem? Let's be honest. How many don't? Well, that's right. Amen. We got one that doesn't have a memory problem. And by the way, when I was his age, neither did I. My mother told me again the other day, just this past week on the phone, "Well, wait till you get my age." I said, "Quit telling me that. You've been telling me that, and I'm 20 years past when you first started telling me." I mean, it's just crazy. Listen, most people can't even remember what I preached last Sunday. And let me let you know a little secret about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember what I preach sometimes on Sundays. How do we know they remembered? I mean, let's think about that. You know what we call it? Inspiration, right? Now, elsewhere, Jesus said this. Turn back, if you will, for just a moment to John chapter 14, just a few pages back. And I want you to look here in verse number 25. The Bible says in John 14, 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, obviously here, the Holy Spirit can't remind us of what Jesus said in the same way He did His disciples. And so, because we didn't hear what Jesus said, right? Listen, I wasn't there, none of you were there, when Jesus spoke physically. And that is why inspiration only relates, by the way, to what the disciples and what the apostles wrote down through the Holy Spirit. Now, that is why, also, you don't ever find any writer that's in the New Testament telling the church to look at further revelation down the road or a new truth they have never heard before. And I want to tell you right now, in fact, it's just the opposite. They warn about false prophets and about false teachers. And specifically don't say anything else about what has been written down. And so that's why Jesus added these words, by the way. If we go back over to our text here, in verse number 13, notice, "And He will show you things to come." Now, that is, what is beyond what He said while He was on earth to the disciples, and to what He will tell the Spirit to tell the other apostles who wrote the rest of the New Testament. Do you know why that's important? Let me tell you why. The Bible that I preach from this pulpit, is a King James red letter edition. And everything that Jesus said in my Bible is printed in red. But now I'm going to say something that may blow some of your minds that you may never have heard. It gives the impression, because it's printed in red, that these words are more important than any of the other words. But the truth of the matter is, and I want you to know this today, is that is the words in which the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul in Romans and to Peter in the books and to Jude and James have just as much authority and importance as the words that Jesus spoke. And that's why you can never play Jesus against any one writer when it comes to any other writer when it comes to the Bible. The same Holy Spirit that inspired the disciples to write down the words of Jesus, I want you to know today, is the same Holy Spirit that inspired Peter and Paul and James and even Jude and many others, by the way, to write down not only the words of Jesus after He left this planet, but also the words in the books that they've written that are in the Bible. These words here, by the way, weren't just given to the disciples. They were given to us. This wasn't written for just the disciples to read and us never read it, which today many people have dust on their Bible in their house. They were given to us. The Holy Spirit not only reminded them of what to write, He reminds us, that's me and you by the way, of what they did write. Not only did He want them to seek the truth, but He wants you and I today, even in 2024, to seek the truth. Amen? Now, you can rest assured, whoever, whenever, and wherever anyone is really interested in finding out the truth about anything, it is directly because of the empowerment of the Spirit of truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to see the truth. Listen, it's one thing to get the truth. I mean, we've got people walking around that are in leadership here and there. They know what the truth is, but they're not living by it. It's one thing to get the truth, but it's another thing to really get the truth, right? It's one thing to receive it, but it's another thing to understand it. And though He was speaking directly to the disciples, He was also speaking indirectly to His disciples. In other words, applying this to you and I, to us. I want you to know right now that truth is useless unless you both understand it and you understand how to apply it. And by the way, when I say apply it, I'm talking about apply it to your life. Not only is the Holy Spirit's job to take the truth, it is then to teach the truth. And later on, the Apostle Paul put it this way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now, this is important. Because when the Holy Spirit reminded the disciples what to say and had them to write it down, that was inspiration. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you and I, us, to understand what is written and to take it and apply it to our lives, that is what we call illumination. You've got to keep this difference in your mind, okay? By inspiration, I want you to know the Holy Spirit gave the disciples all the truth that you and I, we need to know. But the illumination of the Holy Spirit shines on the light of truth so that we can understand it. To put it this way, to the disciples, He gave life to the truth. To us, He gives light to the truth. To put it another way, inspiration is the receiving of new truth. Illumination is the gift of understanding old truth. And that's why Paul's message got into the Bible. And that's why my message, not only today, but in the past and in the future, ought to come from the Bible. My message is not in the Bible. It comes from the Bible. Amen? Now, there's people that want to add to the Bible. If you ever get a Bible and it's been added to you, you need to get rid of it. Because it's a false teaching. Let me put it to you another way. Anybody can read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, but nobody can understand the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? There was a 3-year-old boy that I read about who was writing a letter to a girl that he had a crush on. And his mother walked in. She said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing a love letter to my girlfriend." The mother said, "Well, you can't write. Why are you trying to send her a letter?" He said, "Oh, that's okay. She can't read." You know, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, we can read what God has written, but we cannot understand it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't understand it. We can read it, but you can't understand how to apply it. And that's why it's so important that we go to the Bible both to seek the truth and to see the truth. Because the truth be known, God wants to speak to us today, is just as fresh and important and as relevant today and as clear as it was to those disciples and to those others that wrote, the apostles that wrote the Bible. Do you realize the Bible was inspired? It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was sitting for hours, 12, 13 hours at Erlanger Hospital Monday. And I'm one of those, I'll pray about what, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to give me to preach on. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will give me something to preach on months before I ever preach. But here's the thing. I'm not one of these people that I start preparing messages months in advance and all that. No, listen. Sometimes I'll prepare one. God says, "You're not going to preach that until 10 or 12 years later." But it's usually that week that I'll start praying for God to give me something to say. But I was sitting there, and when you're sitting there for a long period of time, you start pondering things in life, right? And I was observing the actions of others. You know, some people, by the way, some people are strange. But there would be people that would walk into that lobby. I was sitting from here to Brother David. And they would come in and they would be rude to the lady that was sitting behind the counter at the surgery place. And some people would come in and they would be so nice and so polite. And the lady's name behind the desk was Faye. And I kept hearing her use the word blessed over and over and over. She talked to people, even though some of them were hateful. She said, "You have a blessed day." And she said, "It's been a blessing today." And I kept hearing her say that. And you know what? I think she killed some people with kindness. But later I heard her let another person that was there know that she had retired. She'd worked there for many years at that desk and retired from Erlanger Health Center. Well, guess what? She decided to come back to work because she loved her job so much. This was an older lady. And I started talking to her about Jesus. And she later on went on to tell me that her husband was a pastor in Chattanooga. And she said, "This job has given me the opportunity to be able to witness to so many people, and that's why God sent me back here to Erlanger." She said, "So many people come in here hurting and need to be encouraged." And you know, it got me to thinking about the disciples as I was sitting there and how they were blessed by physically being with Jesus, right? But I want to tell you something. I've been to Israel before. I sat right there exactly where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. I've been on that hillside. The truth be told, if we had physically been on that hillside and sat there that day that those disciples heard the message right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, listen, I'll tell you right now, we wouldn't have been any more blessed than we are right now. We wouldn't have known any more than we know right now with the Spirit of God taking the Word of God that we have, helping us to understand the truth of God. I want you to know you and I are just as blessed because we have the Holy Spirit of God that guides us. I want to ask you a question. If you are a believer, would you like for the Holy Spirit to speak to you regularly? Now let me ask you this. If you are an unbeliever, but you really want to know about God, if there is a God, who He is, does He have a plan for your life? Does He love you? Does He care about you? Can you have a relationship with Him? Would you like for God to speak to you through the Spirit? The answer to both of those questions right there, to both of you, is this. To the believer and the unbeliever, is if you want to hear from the Spirit of God, you've got to go to the Word of God. Now, the more deeply you go and you study the Word of God, the more clearly you'll hear from the Spirit of God. If you're lost, I promise you, the Spirit of God will start speaking as you read this about salvation. But you're not going to understand a lot of things about the Bible until you get saved and become a believer. Because the Holy Spirit, remember as we learned last week, lives inside of us, right? Now how do I know that to be true? Listen again to what Jesus said in verse number 13. He said, "He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." I want you to know today, my friend, the Holy Spirit will speak only what God wants to say and what God wants you to hear, and what God has already said, what God wants you to hear, is found right here in the Bible. I want you to know the Holy Spirit's not an independent contractor. He doesn't speak on His own. He speaks. When He speaks, He only speaks from what He hears from Jesus. And what He hears from Jesus is right here in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to see the truth. And the last thing is the Holy Spirit empowers us to share the truth. He'll empower you to seek the truth, to see the truth, and to share the truth. Now, look at verse 14. The Bible says, "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Now, you know what the Holy Spirit really wants to do for both believers and unbelievers? He doesn't want us just to guide us to know stuff. I know everybody wants to know everything. He doesn't want to guide us to know theology. He doesn't want to guide us to even know just the Bible and read through it and know everything. Listen, He wants to guide us to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, and to glorify Jesus. If you're not doing any of those things, none of the rest of it matters. Do you know what that phrase in the loop means? It means to be in the inner circle, right? What is the inner circle? The Father glorifies the Son as the only way to come to salvation. The Son glorifies the Father by doing the work of salvation and dying for our sins. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son and the Father by building us to seek the truth, giving us eyes to see the truth, and growing our hearts to share the truth. Any truth, I don't care what truth it is, all truth is about Jesus. Do you know how you can know you're being empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit of God? Whenever He's leading you to do anything that's glorifying Jesus. And by the way, the Holy Spirit doesn't have any interest in talking about Himself. The Holy Spirit never shines the spotlight on Himself. The only interest he has is Jesus. And I want you to know right now, that's why when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of Jesus. You know, something that's happened, and I'm going to close on this. We have learned how to harness electricity and power by damming up rivers, right? And through the genius of engineers, we have the ability to store that electricity and to send hundreds of thousands of volts of power all around the country. However, there's a problem. If you go to any power plant and there are hundreds and thousands of volts of energy that are available to your home and to mine, but there's a problem if all those volts were sent, if they were set in their own power, you know what would happen? They would immediately burn your house to a crisp. Engineers have built what are called transformers. I've learned a lot about transformers over the years because I work for a utility company. They're not transmitters, but transformers. And I want you to know right now that transformer breaks down electricity into meaningful units so that you and I can seek the power and share the power. If we didn't have a transformer, again, your house would burn. You'd have too much power coming in. I want you to know today, my friend, the Holy Spirit is God's transformer. He takes the truth of God in the right place, at the right time, in the right way, and He gives it to us whether we are believers or not believers. In such a way that not only can we seek it and see it, but I want you to know today we can use it for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead so that we might be saved to transform us into a new person, and for the believer to transform that power to help us all to be what we need to be for God.
We thank you for joining us today. Visit us online at isvision.org. Text the word SAVE to the number 80123 and hit send to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. May God bless you.